Hello, you're very welcome to Inside the Studio. This is the show that will help you to make your own podcast, whether it's audio or video podcasting. This is the podcast for you. So this is episode 3 of Inside the Studio. I have been away for quite a long time. I've missed many weeks, but don't worry, I will be trying to get consistent. My goal for 2012 is to have an episode of Inside the Studio every single week, not missing one week in the entire year of Inside the Studio if I can. I have been suffering with an ear infection, still am. I'm trying to get rid of it, but it's not really working out too well. But I do have an ear infection still. So I really do apologize. And that's the main reason for me missing so many episodes of Inside the Studio. But we are on episode 3 and we're still on the audio section of how to, you know, audio basics of how to make a podcast. Today, I'm going to talk to you about how you can make mixers, right? So what an audio mixer is. Now, in the previous 2 episodes of Inside the Studio, you might remember me, I was talking about audio, and I was saying how difficult, or that a mixer is kind of something that's a little bit difficult to understand and to get your head around, but I'm going to try and do it in the easiest way possible. But before we start, you might realize that I have gone HD on Talks About Tech. Now, it's been a very difficult process for me to go HD, mostly because of webcam issues. Now, I have actually got a new PC in here today, and I built my own new PC. It's actually it's a custom PC. I've got an i7-3770 in here, and it's running really nicely. However, there have been issues with webcams, especially. I have not been able to get the webcams working, so I'm actually using a remote webcam now. It's a complicated setup, but it's sort of working out for me, and hopefully this episode will come out very well. But we might as well go on to talk about the audio mixer. Now, an audio mixer is really just, it's a device, right? And it allows you to take multiple input sources and really mix them into one single output, right? So let's say an example of where you might find a mixer to come in handy would be if you have two people on an audio show and then you have someone on Skype, right? So you need to take in 2 microphones and a Skype output. So the audio that's coming from Skype, you need to be able to record that. Right, so this is where a mixer comes in very handy, because what you want to be able to do is to take that whatever is coming from those microphones and from that Skype and put it into one output source. So you want to be able to record them all together. Okay, so this is where a mixer comes in. So you plug all of those inputs into the mixer, and then it gives you one single output. So I'm going to go ahead now and show you a diagram of a typical mixer. So this is what a typical mixer might look like. So here's one. This is actually a Mackie ProFX 12 mixer. Now, there's many, many different types of mixers. This is probably a medium, what you call a medium end mixer. It's got, 12 inputs on it, because the ProFX 12, 12 channels of audio that you can, as you can do here. So it's actually a very nice, this is a very nice mid-range mixer, and it's fairly straightforward. I mean, this is one that, it's not like a bare bones mixer, but it's not like a mixer with all the frills. So I'll be showing you what a very simple mixer looks like, a mid-end, which is this one, and a very complicated mixer. So let's go ahead here and take a look at what this board looks like. Now, at first, your first impression is probably going to be, what the hell? This mixer is is absolutely crazy. How are you supposed to understand all this stuff? Well, it might look a little bit daunting, but I'll actually just go through what everything does. So you can see that here that on the bottom, you've got what are called faders, okay? So you can adjust the volume for each individual channel using these faders. Here is obviously the main fader right over here. Now, I apologize if you're listening to the audio, but I'll try to make it as listenable as I possibly can for audio. Okay, so here is the main fader. So this is going to control the overall main volume of whatever it is. So that's really the main volume for all of the channels that are coming in. Okay, so next over here along the bottom, you've got faders for every single channel. And then above that, you've just got mute buttons for every channel. So you can mute every channel individually if you want to do. Now, the lower-end mixers I've found do not even have, they don't even have mute buttons, right? So that's quite bad. And some of the more kind of expensive mixers will have solo buttons in there as well. So that'll mean that only that one channel is active, right? If you press the solo button on a channel, that's going to be the only channel that's active. Okay, so that's that. Okay, so next we're going to go ahead here and we're going to move along here. Here are the pans, okay? So this is going to be... this is going to, if you have a stereo, if you're recording in stereo, you can pan it left or you can pan it right, which can be very, very handy, depending on what you're doing, of course. It became very popular in the 60s to do stereo recordings. So these were recordings where they would try to position people, make it sound like people were positioned in different places on a stage or in a room. By what they would do is they would actually, let's say they had a guitarist on the left channel and a singer on the right channel. That's how they would do it, really. And they used the pans. That became very popular in the 60s, using stereo recordings. Now, you can see up above the pans, you've got aux sends. So what they are is you can, it's like a submix. Now, I'll actually explain what aux sends are, because they're actually very complicated. But these are just the controller knobs, the little controls for the aux sends. Now, above here is EQ. So what you can actually do is you can, this is a three-channel EQ, and it has low, high, and mid. Okay, now if you adjust the high on an EQ, what it will do is it'll make your voice sound very tinny. And if you increase the low, it'll make your voice sound very low and very bassy. And if you increase the mids, well, it's just going to sound more kind of mid. So you can see here that's your parametric EQ right there. That's what it's called, a parametric EQ. Now, a lot of people will say leave the EQ. Unless you know what you're doing, leave the EQ as it is. Now, have I messed with my EQ? I have not. I have not done anything to my EQ. I might add a little bit to the highs on the EQ because my microphone tends to be a little bit on the low side and not very, it doesn't have very vivid highs. But I can show you right here. So I'm going to increase the highs on my microphone and you can see right, or you can hear right now that, you can hear that the highs have gone way up and it sounds very tinny. So I'm going to bring that down again. And now I'm going to increase the mids. So now it sounds like an old radio microphone or something. And now I'm going to increase the lows. So, or that's the frequency. Sorry, it's a different mixer I have. This is increasing the lows. So it's just unbearably bassy now. But you can tell the difference when I'm, this is my own mixer that I'm changing the EQ on, okay? And then above here, you've got your gain, okay? So if you're, when a lot of the time, if you're bringing a microphone or an input of some sort into the mixer, it's going to be a lot low, very low. So what you need to do is you need something to boost that signal, okay? So in my case, I'm cranking the gain quite a lot because I'm using a dynamic microphone, but the gain will crank the, it has a, what's called, it's slipping me right now, I apologize, but the gain will just increase the overall sound of whatever the input is. And then up here, which you've got your insert and your line in, okay? So every channel has a line in. And every channel in this case, or most of the channels in this case, have an insert. So what an insert is essentially just a... an insert is just a way of adding an effects unit, for example, or a compressor. What it does is it takes the input and it will use the sound. It might process it a bit or do whatever it does. So let's say you're putting in an effects processor that maybe... What would it do? Add an echo effect. So it'll take the source, so your microphone or whatever it is, then put it through that effects processor, add that reverb or echo or whatever it is, and then send it back into the main mix. So that's what that does. And you need a special insert cable, so it's a stereo to two mono cable, two mono plugs. So one of the mono plugs will go into the input on your processor, and then one will go to the output of your processor and then send it right back into the mixer. That's what I'm doing with my compressor right now. Don't worry if you don't understand it, because when we are covering, when I'm covering compressors, limiters and gates in the next, or hopefully in the next few episodes at least, I will explain how you can use insert cables to plug in an effects or a dynamic processing unit into your mixer, okay? But that's essentially what that's for. You don't need to worry about it for the time being. So, okay, so now you can see here's your line in, okay? So that's your quarter-inch input jack for your microphone, okay? So that's what that will do, is that you put your input in there if it's a quarter-inch input. Now, if you're taking an input from a computer, what you need to do is you need to convert it. Now, I can show you right here. I've got a lot of these converters. I can switch to my camera right here, my show and tell camera, as I call it. So you can see here, this is what's called a 3.5 to quarter inch jack. Now, I actually have an old mixer right here, and it's got a quarter inch. It's got a line in on it, and you plug the line in into the quarter inch on your mixer, and then what you need is a 3.5 millimeter cable, okay? And that's going to be what's going to plug into your computer's sound card, right? And sorry for the microphone noises there, but you need to plug that, the 3.5 mil into that, and it'll actually convert it to quarter inch. Now, you're better off to get a 3.5 to quarter inch cable. You can get those cables. They're 3.5 to quarter inch cables, right? And one end, there's a quarter inch, right? And that's going to go into your mixer. And on the other end, there's a 3.5 inch that's going to go into your computer's sound card. The reason why I would recommend that is because converters tend to be a little bit finicky. They tend to be a little bit on the, especially over time as you unplug and plug them in, they tend to not be too, I suppose the connectors tend to wear on them. Now I've got a lot of these connectors, as you can see right there. It's a lot of connectors, but I've actually got quarter inch to 3.5 mil and 3.5 mil to quarter inch. That's the difference, right? So in this case, you're taking a quarter inch cable and you're converting it to 3.5 millimeter. And in this case, you're taking a 3.5 millimeter and you're converting it into quarter inch. Now, let's say you had a quarter inch cable and you wanted to have the quarter inch end go into the mixer. You could also have this adapter and that would go into your computer's sound card. But I just recommend if you can get a cable that has a quarter inch jack on one end and a 3.5 mil jack on the other end, that's the way to go. Make sure that they're both male, male connectors. And so this is an adapter. So if you already have 3.5 mil, if you already have 3.5 mil cables, like what I had, I already had 3.5 mil cables, then this little adapter right here will do the job for you. But they tend to be a little bit finicky, especially over time. So that's the line in. Okay, now you might be able to realize that if I go back to the diagram here, you've got channel 1, channel 2, channel 3, and channel 4. And then after channel 4, it gets a little bit different. You see it's channel 5/6, 7/8, 9/10, and 11/12. What's with that? So you've got a left and a right input. Right, and what they do here is they count the left as one line in and the right as another line in. And you can see the same for 7 and 8 and 9 and 10 and 11 to 12. Right, and these, so channels 1 to 4 are mono channels, which means that they are a single channel. They've got mono, they're mono inputs. But 5 to 6, or 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 and 12 are stereo inputs. So if you were playing some music or you had an iPod or something, you might want to plug it into a stereo input so you get stereo sound. So stereo, and this is probably what you'd want to do with a computer as well. What you need is a 3.5 millimeter stereo cable, okay? A 3.5 millimeter stereo cable to two mono quarter inch cables. Okay, and unfortunately, I don't have one to show you right now. But that's what you—that's what you're going to need to have in order for it to work into a stereo. Okay, now if you're going into a shop, if you know an audio shop, just even Google 3.5 millimeter stereo to two mono quarter inch, right? And that will give you the adapters. So if you wanted to do stereo into either line or into channel 5/6 or into 7/8 or 9/10 or 11/12. And that's the difference, okay? Now, these other channels might not have the same kind of features that the mono channels will have, okay? Now, you can see here that I can barely see it on my screen right here. It's actually called a low cut. That's a little button below the gain button, below the gain knob. And a low cut will actually cut the low ends, the very, very low ends. So let's say you had a very low frequency hum in your sound. So maybe it was a computer and it was a very low sounding computer. The low cut would cut that out. You can also get a high one that will cut out very high signals. But they're actually not very popular on mixers. Mine also has a low cut. But that's what that is, okay? So that's the lines, okay? That's pretty much what they are. And I'll explain on the right-hand side of the mixer in a moment. But then if you scroll up even more, you get these. These are the XLR cable inputs. So if you had a microphone, the majority of microphones are XLR microphones. So you need to plug them in here, okay? And you can see here that each of these channels all the way up to 7 and 8 have XLR inputs in them. And then 9 and 10 and 11 and 12 are only quarter inch, okay? And that's what it's like on most mixers. On my mixer, it goes up to 11 and 12 before... You see, mine is a supposedly 24-channel mixer, but it's actually 16, and it goes right up to 11/12 before, and the last two channels don't have XLR inputs, right? So that's what it's actually like on most mixers, but they do count the left and right on the stereo channels as separate inputs, okay? And then they call it a 12-channel mixer. But really, if you count it, it's really just an 8-channel mixer, really, right? But that's what they call it, okay? So you can see here that up here beside the mic, the 7/8 mic input, the XLR input, you've got tape outputs, okay? This is a tape input, and that's a tape output. So tape is, it's actually composite out and composite in. So you can see here, these are actually composite audio cables. So you can take a composite audio cable in and a composite audio cable out. Now, these aren't very popular these days, but if you were using, if you were recording using composite, if you were using a tape recorder, that's how you'd be able to record it. And you take the tape out of the mixer and into your tape recorder. But I don't know anybody who uses the tape recorder anymore. And if you do, well, then you'd know to use the tape outputs. But don't worry about that for the time being. If you're using a tape player, okay, then you would use the tape in to take the input of the tape player and put it into your mixer. But again, if you're still using a tape player, then you probably know to put it into the tape inputs. Okay, so don't worry about that. So I hope I've been clear so far. You've got your, I'll just recap. You've got your fader, okay? You've got your pans, so you can pan left or right. You've got your aux sends, which I will explain in just a minute. You've got your EQ, so that's adjusting highs, mids, and lows. You've got your gain, and in this mixer, you've got a low cut. So that's going to cut the really low frequency sounds, okay? And then you've got your insert cable for inserting effects and things like that. And then you've got your line in and your XLR cables. You've also got tape in and tape out if you're using tape. And channels 1 to 4 are mono channels, and channel 5 to 12 are all stereo channels, okay? You can see the last two channels also don't have low cuts. Now, you might want to notice on the faders, what you've got is, and I can actually show you a little bit, actually no I can't, but sorry about that, but there is a certain point which is zero. Now, these faders use a way of measuring the amount of sound, and it's called decibels, okay? Decibels is just a way of measuring how loud something is, and the ideal place to have your fader is at 0 dB, 0 decibels, okay? And that's where that main point is right there on the fader, right? It's not quite up, it's not up at the very top. What you want to do is put it about 3/4 of the way up, okay? That's 0 dB, and that's where you want to be, okay? You can also put it below if you want it to be a little bit quieter. But if you're trying to set the sound of a microphone, what you want to do is you want to set the gain, okay? So first of all, you bring the fader up to 0 decibels, okay? And then you set the gain. So if it's too quiet at 0 decibels, you put the gain up. If it's too loud at 0 decibels, you bring the gain down, okay? And really what the fader is designed for is, let's say on the fly during a show, you have to change the volume of your microphone. You're going to use the fader because the gain is kind of up at the top and it can be a little bit fiddly to mess with the gain. So you just bring down or bring up the volume on the fader, okay? And so this is the word I was looking for earlier on. The gain is actually a preamp, okay? Now, preamp will boost the sound. It's like an amplifier, okay? If you've ever heard of an amplifier will amplify sound. It'll amplify audio. And the fader actually also has its own amplifier in it, its own preamp. But the problem with the preamp and the fader is it's not as good quality as the preamp for the gain knob, okay? So if you start going over 0 decibels on the fader for the preamp, it's going to start sounding bad. It's going to start sounding noisy and not very good quality sound. Whereas you can pretty much crank the gain up to the last and it will still sound fine if you're using the gain knob, because the preamp is a very high quality preamp, whereas in the fader, it isn't. So what you want to do essentially is just set the fader to 0 dB, which is 3/4 up. You'll know it's marked off very clearly, and then set the gain. Okay, if you're setting it in the pre-show. And of course, during the show, you can adjust it. So if you have to adjust your sound, either go up or down, you can use the fader, no problem, during your show. Okay, so now, I hope I haven't lost you so far, but now I'm going to talk to you about the aux sends. Okay, so you've got, as you can see here, the red here says aux. Okay, and the and it has beside each year MON. Okay, now notice that beside the main fader, there's a fader called MON. So if you want, and that controls the main volume for this aux send. Okay, so what I want you to do is see the aux send knob here as just another fader. Okay, so if you want this, if you want channel one, for example, to come out on the MON channel, okay, you want to turn up the knob, right? Right up to the middle, that's 0 dB again, and then turn up the MON channel, the main channel here, up to 0 dB, the main fader, okay? So, and the reason why, I'll explain what an aux send is maybe first, okay? So an aux send essentially allows you to have a secondary output. So let's say you had somebody on Skype, okay? Now, if you're sending the person on Skype, if you're bringing the person on Skype into the call or into the mixer, okay? So you had a channel from your computer going into the mixer to record the Skype conversation, so their audio. The problem is if you send an output from the mixer into the computer to send back to them so that they can hear you, the problem is they're going to hear everything that's coming from the mixer, including themselves. Because you have, the thing is, you have the, you have got, I'm just looking over at my own mixer here, but you've got your own microphone and you've also got the person coming in on Skype. And what you're doing is you're sending back your own microphone and the person on Skype too. So that what's going to happen is because there's a certain amount of lag on Skype, they're going to hear your voice, but they're also going to hear Skype. They're also going to hear their own voice and it's going to be delayed. And that is the most off-putting thing. It's just really, really off-putting in any, when you're trying to talk and you hear your own voice back delayed like a few seconds, right? Or even a second. So you want to try and avoid that. So what you have to do is you have to send the, you have to send everything that's coming into the mixer apart from their voice. Okay, now, so this is where it gets a little bit confusing. So you're saying, well, how can you do that? With a mixer, it's just very simply taking all the inputs and creating one single output. Well, on mixers now, the way that they have come around, gone around this is they have, they've put in a feature into mixers called aux sends. So this allows you to include or not include channels in this aux send. So see, you should see the aux send channel or the aux send as just another output, okay? Exactly like the main output, but it's an aux send output. So you can it's just an aux output, okay? See, it's just a separate output. So let's say you wanted channel one. Let's say channel one was your microphone and you wanted it to go onto this aux output. Well, or aux send. You increase the knob to zero, so it's at 0 dB again for the aux send, okay? So now your channel, your microphone channel is coming out on this MON, what they call MON channel on this mixer, right? And then let's say channel two was Skype. Well, you don't want to send their own voice, their own Skype audio back to them, so you keep this one muted, okay? This aux send for channel two. And then there's actually, I don't know if it's here. Yes, it is. MON send, right? Here is an output. This is an output. So you take the quarter inch output from the mixer and you have a quarter inch to 3.5 mil, probably 3.5 millimeter jack cable, and you feed it into the input or on the computer, the sound card in the computer, and then you send that audio into the person on Skype. So what they're doing, what you're doing is you're sending your microphone, but not their sound back. And that's how an aux send works. Now you can see here that there is red knobs and there's also orange knobs. The first one is MON, labeled MOM. And the second one is labeled FX. And that's because this mixer has an FX processor, right? So it has its own effects. So it's It's got reverb on there, I see. It's got chorus on there, and it's got delay. Now, in podcasting, you want to have the cleanest sound you possibly can get. So you definitely don't want to put reverb on there. You definitely don't want to do that. I was messing around with my effects unit on my mixer, and you don't want it, okay? So, but it's very interesting to mess around with it. But what you do is, so you just leave those blank if you don't want to use it. Now, the thing is, let's say you had two people on Skype. Well, what are you going to do? You only have one aux send. Well, actually, you can use the FX sends. The FX sends as a second aux send because they're exactly the same. What you do is you bypass this effects unit, okay? So you just bring up, here's your effects master, okay? So you bring the FX master up to 0 dB and you take the FX send output and you send it to the second Skype, okay? Now, if you had two people on Skype, you're going to have two separate computers for each Skype conversation because you can't, unless you have two sound cards and you're running two instances of Skype on that computer, you can't do it. Now, I've seen people where they have little USB sound cards so that they can send the whatever is going into... so you can basically send the two separate sound microphone inputs into each separate Skype call. But that's not really ideal. But that's basically what an aux send is. It's sending everything to... But I will be explaining in a separate episode. I think the next episode I'll be explaining how to do Skype calls, how to do Skype conversations in your podcast. Because it's another episode, really, that you can go into great detail on how to do a Skype call on your podcast. And I will be explaining how you can do that in the next episode, okay? So... I will for the time being anyway be doing that. So or in the next episode I will do that, okay? So in the next episode I'll be explaining how to do a Skype call and I'll go into even greater detail about aux sends in the next episode. Okay, so that's what an aux send is. I hope I didn't confuse you there. It can be quite complicated. It can be very complicated and how you can get around aux sends. But I hope I explained it the best way I can. So now, we're going to go from the top to the bottom here on this right-hand side. So we've basically explained everything on the left-hand side in the middle of the mixer. Now we're going to go over to this right-hand side here. So you can see here that you've got... ST return. These are returns. You don't need to worry about these for the time being. And here is your MON send. So if you want to send an aux send to a Skype caller, you're going to take the output from that. And here's the FX send if you want to do it for a second Skype caller. And then here is your main outputs, okay? Now, the main outputs on this mixer are as quarter inch. Okay. Now, there's multiple ways that you can record the output of your mixer. But in this case, okay, so this is how you're going to be able to, this is going to allow you to record what is coming out of the main output of this mixer, okay? And I'll talk to you about how you can record the sound from a mixer later on. Here is foot switch. This is for literally, you know, adjusting the volume from the switch. A foot switch, you don't need to worry about that. And this is phones for if you want to monitor the sound coming from the mixer. This is very, very important. You definitely want to be doing this because headphones, it's very important to wear headphones so that you can monitor the sound because you want to make sure that all of the audio levels are really, that they're fine, that nothing is wrong with the audio levels and that they're not clipping, okay, which I talked about. I think it was episode one, I talked about clipping. You need to make sure that they're not clipping and that everything is okay with the sound. And that's a very important thing to monitor your sound. So that headphones output will allow you to monitor the direct sound from the main output. Okay. So you can see here, this mixer actually has what's built in a stereographic EQ. So a graphic EQ will have certain bands, and it works exactly the same way as the EQ we've seen on each of these channels here. This is parametric EQ, so it's got low, mids, and highs. Well, this has got a number of low bands, a number of mid bands, and a number of high bands. I can see here it's probably got about, this is the middlemost band here. You've got 3 mid bands, 2 high bands, and 2 low bands. Okay, so this is just a more accurate EQ. So if you had some noise that's on, not on the highest band of the EQ, but it's on the second highest, then you can just lower that, right? So it's very, very handy having a graphic EQ, but really you don't need it for the majority of what you want to do with a podcast. So I wouldn't worry about using a stereographic EQ. Just leave everything at 0 for the graphic EQ on your own mixer. Here is the effects unit that I was talking about, the effects processor that's built into it. And here is the FX master knob. So if you are using the FX send as an aux send, you want to turn up that knob to 0 dB. This is FX to MOM. So if you wanted to send, if you wanted every output channel or every channel on the MOM output to have the effects that are on this effects unit, you'll turn that up, but you don't. Okay, so leave that alone for the time being. Now, every mixer is going to be different, okay? So I recommend that as long as you understand what every one of these buttons does, as long as you understand what an EQ is, what an aux send is, what a pan is, what a fader is, what a mute button is, then you'll be able to understand what your mixer does, okay? Because you read the manual and you figure out what each thing does. And most of the time, it's going to be labeled anyway. So here is the phones knob. This is for headphones, okay? So you can increase or decrease the volume that's coming to your headphones. So if it's too loud, you can decrease that. And of course, if you want to make sure that your headphones are working, you want to turn up that knob. That was a mistake I made first. I was like, why is there no sound coming in? And I was like, oh, I have to turn up the headphones knob. And then you've got your tape level, okay? So this is the volume for your tape output, okay? If you're using a tape recorder, which you probably won't be. Okay, so here you've got your main meters. So these are VU meters, these are decibel meters, and these are just graphical meters telling you how loud your volume actually is. You can see here that 0 dB is right there. That's the point that you want to hit. You don't want to go over 0 dB. Once you get into 6, 10, 15 dB, you're kind of getting a little bit clipped and kind of overdriven. You don't want to go there. You want to be hitting 0 dB for the most, for pretty much the whole time. You know, if you hit 3 dB over, that's okay. But as long as you're not going over 0 dB, I think you'll be okay. Okay? So, and then here is a phantom power switch. Now, I think I talked about this already. It's 48 volts of power. Now, if you're using a condenser microphone, which I talked about in episode 1, you're going to want to put phantom power on. Now, this will run 48 volts of power through the XLR ports, through the XLR inputs on the mixer, and give power to the microphone. Okay? So that pretty much explains everything that's on this mixer. Now, what I want to do is I want to talk a little bit about how you can record the output from the mixer. Okay, so there are a number of ways you can do this. You can take a 1/4-inch output jack into a recording device, such as the Zune H4N. That's a really cool recorder. And with the Zune H4N, it's got a USB output. So what you can do is you can record the sound on the H4N and then take a USB output from the H4N into a computer, for example, if you wanted to do that, Okay, so that's, you know, the H4n is a really cool recorder if you want to go down that route. I have not. I'm recording straight onto a computer. Okay, so you've also got a quarter inch output to a 3.5 millimeter jack. Okay, that's what I said. So you've got your two mono quarter inches to a single stereo 3.5 mil, and that will go into your computer's sound card or into another recording device. Again, if your recording device takes 3.5 millimeter jacks. I would probably recommend against going into your computer through your computer's sound card. Now, at the beginning, I used to use this very mixer right here that I'm going to show you right now. This is a Behringer, I have to check, Eurorack UB1202 mixer. And what I used to do is, like that Mackie mixer, it's got two quarter inch left and right quarter inch for outputs. You can see here it's got main outputs right there. And I used to convert it. I used to have a quarter inch monos to a single stereo 3.5 mil jack. And that would feed right into my computer's sound card. But my computer did not have a very good sound card. And what happens is the sound cards pick up a lot of noise. So you get a lot of excess noise in your audio, in your sound. If you listen back to episodes, probably, I'm trying to think now, maybe 11 or 12 of Talks About Tech Weekly, you're going to hear what happened. The sound is really terrible. There's a lot of kind of very strange noise coming into the computer or coming through in the audio. And that's definitely what you don't want, okay? So I definitely wouldn't recommend you go directly into a computer sound card, okay? So what can you do? Well, one option is to go into your recording device if you have a Zune H4n and then go USB, right? So you use this as a USB sound device, just like if you had a USB microphone and it would go into the USB port on your computer. You do the exact same thing with a mixer, okay? So you take a USB, the USB output of your H4n into your computer. That's one option of going into USB. USB is probably the best option if you want to go directly into your computer, okay? Now, if your mixer has XLR outputs, so instead of having quarter inch outputs, it has two XLR outputs, you can take two mono XLRs to a single mono or to a single stereo XLR and then XLR to USB converters. I have an XLR to USB converter and they normally cost about 20 or 30 euro. It will convert USB into, or it'll convert XLR into USB. So you can take the XLR outputs and convert it into USB and go directly into your computer. So if you're, that's one option for your mixer, okay? That's another option for your mixer. Now, some mixers will even have direct USB outputs built into them, like my mixer. My mixer has a direct USB output built into it. So you can take a USB cable directly from the mixer right into your computer. That's probably the best option. But you might have to spend a little bit more money in order to get a computer with that or to get a mixer with that feature. I recommend you definitely do go out and get one with that feature. I can recommend some mixers to go with later on with direct USB output. That's the best job if you want to record directly to a computer. Okay, so some mixers will also have FireWire. Okay, now, FireWire mixers, I actually have a FireWire mixer, if you don't know. I record a lot of music and things like that, so I have a Alesis mixer. It's just a brand of mixer. It's a 16-channel mixer, and it's got a FireWire output. Now, FireWire is kind of something of the past. It was a very popular interface a long time ago. I'll say that, a long time ago. And it was most popular on the Macs. But FireWire is much faster than USB 2.0, okay? So what you can do is you can put a lot more data through a FireWire cable. So what you can do is you actually have the ability to record each track separately. So, for example, on my recording setup is I have a mixer. It'll take a FireWire output directly into my Mac computer. I use a MacBook. The FireWire will go into the MacBook, and then I record using Audition. Now, let's say I only wanted to record, I was only using four channels on the mixer. I only wanted to record those four channels. What you do is you create a multi-track recording in Audition, and I'll show you again in the future how to create. I'll be doing Audition tutorials as well as Audacity tutorials. I'll be doing loads of different tutorials, so don't worry about it, okay? And what it'll do is you select which channel you want to record to. Okay, so if you want to record channel one, you select channel one, you create a new channel to record on your multi-track recording, and you select channel two, right? Now, the advantages to this is, let's say you did your entire show, and you realized at the end that the person on Skype, their volume was too low. If it was a single output recording, you couldn't do that, because even though you would be increasing the volume of the Skype, you would also be increasing the volume of, you'd also be increasing your own volume. So it would just be increasing the entire volume, the main volume. But if you're recording each track separately, what you're doing is you can take that Skype channel and just increase the volume on the Skype channel. So it's not going to affect the rest of the recording, which is really cool. And I do that for music a lot so that I don't have to worry about the levels all that much. And I can cut out certain parts with certain instruments and things like that. So we don't have to do recordings in one take, right? So it's very, very handy to do it that way, okay? So they're the main ways of recording. What's the best way? Well, if you're doing an audio only podcast, an audio recorder will get you the best performance, the best sound quality, because it's a dedicated device just for recording the audio. Okay. So that's probably the best way of doing it. Now, also if you're doing a video podcast, you're going to have the, audio going into a computer. Okay, so USB or FireWire are the two best ways of doing that, because you're going to have the least amount of noise. Computer sound cards can be very noisy unless you have a very good sound card. Okay, so I recommend trying to get USB or XLR. Okay, so, right. Now, I want to show you my mixer. So my mixer has a few different options. This is my mixer. So it's a little bit bigger. Right. So I think it's getting a bit heavy right now. Okay. But you can see that this is my mixer. And it does have a few other options. But I think I won't go into too much detail today, because you don't really need to know every single feature on every single mixer in order to get going. Okay, but I was actually going to go into detail on everything that's in that mixer, but well, that's mine. It's the Behringer ZenX 2442 USB. If you're interested in that, now it's a 16 channel mixer, and it's the second mixer I've ever had. Well, third mixer I've ever had, and it is an absolutely fantastic mixer. If you need 12 XLR inputs, this is the mixer to go for. But the majority of people won't need 12 XLR inputs. I'm not even using them. I'm using 6. So there you go. But, you know, it's always good to expand. If you're going to use every single port in that mixer, the minute you get the mixer, that's a bad idea. You want to always have a few extra inputs available on your mixer just in case. You know, because you will be expanding in the future, right? So you need to make sure that you get a mixer that's big enough for your needs. Now, so what kind of a mixer would I recommend? Well, my first mixer was a Behringer, Eurorack UB1202, as I said. This little mixer right here. This is a tiny little mixer, right? For XLRs, it's supposedly 12 channel. It's actually really 8. But it cost me €64. That's all it cost me, okay? And you can see here, it doesn't have real faders. These are actually just knobs for the main value. And the problem is it only has one aux send right there as well. So you can only have one Skype caller. Or supposedly one Skype caller. There are ways of getting around it. And I'll explain in the next episode when I'm talking about Skype how to do that, okay? But so this mixer did me fine, but there was a lot of issues. There's no USB on it. So how are you going to get into your computer? Well, I did it, right? And it was definitely a big mistake because the sound quality was terrible. So what mixer would I recommend? Well, I would probably recommend a Behringer. I'm going to recommend the Behringer ZenX X1664, I think. Hang on a second here. I'm going to look it up. And this is actually a very similar version of the mixer that I have. X1622 USB. Okay? Now, this is a... I'm going to bring it up on the screen here for you. This is actually a really cool mixer. And you can see here, this is just a mini version of the one that I have. It's got four XLR inputs instead of what I've got, which is 12 XLR inputs, but it's a really cool mixer. It's also got USB output. This is the mixer that I'm going to recommend, okay? So it's just a really great mixer. You can't go wrong with it. It does have effects and things like that. It's just a great mixer. Now, you can also go with the Mackie ProFX 12. That was the one I was showing you right there. That is actually... I like the Mackies, but they are very expensive. Okay, so I'm going to get you the prices of these mixers right now. The Behringer ZenX X1622 USB is €185 on Thomann, which is a very good price. And the Mackie ProFX 12 is a little bit more expensive. Now, it does have a few more XLR inputs if you need that. It's got two more XLR inputs, but it does cost €298. Okay? €298 for the Mackie ProFX 12. My mixer cost €280. It's got 12 inputs. It's a very big mixer, however. It's huge, okay? So if you don't have... You want to make sure you have enough room. I wasn't expecting it to be as big as it actually is, okay? I can actually move the camera a little bit here for you. You can see there's the top of it anyway. There's the top and there's me. Ooh, okay. So there you go. But so that mixer cost me €280. I mean, it's absolutely nothing. It's got USB output. It's got 12 XLR inputs. It's brilliant. It's a brilliant mixer. I would highly recommend it. It's very, very good quality. Some people say that Behringers are not so high quality. I definitely disagree on that. Behringers, if you're paying €64 for a mixer, yes, it's going to be poor quality. But if you're paying €280 for a Behringer mixer, you're going to get very, very high quality. So I definitely recommend that you, if you have two, if you need that many channels, go with the Behringer, the ZenX X2442 USB mixer. Okay? You can also go with the 16-channel version of it. There's an 18-channel version of it. There's a 21-channel version of it. There's so many versions of this very mixer. This is the highest-end one that you can get, okay? But you can go with lower-end ones. Just look for them. The 1622, as I said, there's an 18-channel, 21-channel. There's even lower. There's a 14-channel, 12-channel, or whatever. But if you really... The Mackie also has USB output, as far as I know. Yeah, it does. So if you need that as well, if you need the USB... the Mackie is... It's a brand, you know, you're paying for the brand, really, being honest with you. I think you're very well off going with a Behringer. That's my recommendation. Okay, so we're going to move on. And I want to, you might have heard of a digital mixer. More mixers. Well, this is a show, this show is about mixers, but okay, so these are all analog mixers, which means that they take analog inputs and for the most part, they will give you an analog output. Now, if your mixer has a digital output, it's going to have USB. Okay? I'm getting mixed up completely today, but so if your mixer has a USB output, it has a digital output. So what it does is it actually converts all the analog signals into digital. Now, I already explained in a previous episode what the difference between analog and digital is. Digital is either on or off, whereas analog can be in between on and off. It can be, so the example I gave is an analog cable. If you have a 100 meter analog cable, what's going to happen is this, and you're sending audio through it, as the audio travels along the cable, it's going to get fainter and fainter and fainter. So the volume is going to go down and down and down, okay? But if you have a digital cable, it won't get fainter. It'll stay at the same volume all the time, unless the cable is so long that the signal can't be sent down that far. Okay, so if it's a 100 meter HDMI cable, for example, which is the digital cable, it won't be able to send the data that far. So then you just won't get anything. So you either get full blast digital signal or you get absolutely nothing. Whereas with analog, you can get a fainter signal or you can get a stronger signal depending on how long your cable is. So that's the difference, okay? But you can get fully digital mixers. So what they will do is they will convert every single input the second it comes into the mixer into digital, okay? Probably the most used and most popular digital mixer on the market, the consumer market, or the prosumer market, is the Presonus Studio Live. I'm going to show you the 16.1642, okay? And you can see here, this is a fairly complicated looking mixer. But it's actually fairly similar. Down at the bottom here, you've got your faders. These faders are extremely long faders, by the way. But you can see here that it's got a lot of weird stuff going on here that you wouldn't see on a normal mixer. And I'm not going to go through it, but it actually does the same stuff. But it does have a compressor limiter gate built into it, okay? So you know how I was talking about how I use a compressor limiter gate? I just got one, and I'm using it in my rack, and it's an analog one. Well, this mixer actually has one built into it. And this is what digital allows you to do. So this is this is really cool. I really love one of these mixers, but of course I can't afford it because it's very expensive. These mixers can be about $3,000 to $4,000, about €2,000 for one of these mixers, so they're very, very expensive. But that's essentially what a digital mixer is, and they are very complicated. You know, I'll actually have an episode dedicated to digital mixers and how they work. Won't be anytime soon, but okay. So if you're looking, if you have multiple hosts on a show, you have Skype guests coming in or co-hosts coming in, and you're looking at buying a mixer, I'm going to recommend you go ahead and spend €185 and go with the 1622 Behringer mixer. If you need a few more, you can go and buy the little bit higher end. And if you need a 12 channel, €280 will buy you 12 XLR input mixer, 16 channel in total. So you can also look at the Mackies if you want, but I've never had a Mackie mixer, so I don't know the quality of them, but I do have a Behringer, and you can hear the quality. It's just a very, very high quality mixer. Okay, so that pretty much wraps up this episode of Inside the Studio, episode 3. I hope I did not lose you on this episode. It got a little bit complicated with the aux sends, so I hope that I didn't lose you. I didn't lose you for this episode. But if you're looking, you know, mixers can be quite complicated. But if you actually look at it, they're not actually that complicated. They're not actually all that complicated. They're a little bit difficult because there's so many buttons, there's so much stuff on it at the beginning. You know, it can be a little bit overwhelming. But once you understand everything, it's just like, okay, that's easy. That wasn't hard at all. So I hope this helped you. I hope this helped you to understand mixers a little bit more. Maybe it made you even more confused. I apologize about that. But so next week, I will do an episode on Skype guests. I will also have a few more things in there on next week's episode. So until next time, guys, I will see you. And I hope I didn't confuse you too much. Okay, bye.